20 years ago tomorrow, I was on the air, Dory Monson was on the air, Heather Bosch was on the air, and a young historian named Felix Bunnell was rolling tape, and here he is now. Hi, Felix.
Hey, morning, Dave. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years, and long before I worked at Cairo or worked at a history museum, I would press record on a tape recorder when stuff was going on in local news because I thought someday I might be able to play it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, so I got some samples that I pulled from the tapes of that day. I don't have the moment where the plane struck or when the news broke because I think what's more interesting is sort of what comes not long after, whether it's the news and then the analysis that Cairo has been so good at for so many years. Let's start off with just this fairly straightforward report from a very young Heather Bosch about what's going on at the city of Seattle.
Mayor Paul Schell says he's been in contact with military leaders, and Schell says there will be a Navy ship stationed in Elliott Bay. He wouldn't give any more details where the ship comes from or what kind it will be. He said, don't be alarmed, though. If you see that military ship out in Elliott Bay, that's where it will be stationed, as he says, a precaution. Also, we can tell you now that the urban search and rescue team based here in the Puget Sound region will be leaving around 5 p.m. from McCord Air Force Base to New York to do what this team does probably better than anybody else in the world, which is to search for people in collapsed buildings and other difficult situations. So they'll be taking off around 5. The mayor then added that he wants everyone to pray for the president and members of Congress who he says, quote, will be making some very difficult decisions in the coming days. He then added that he wants us all to pray for the victims of this terrorist attack. Live in downtown Seattle, Heather Bosch, News Radio 710 Cairo.
See, and that's what people like Heather do best of all. They just get in there and just start giving you the facts. And, of course, we were on AM radio back then, so even the phone call doesn't sound as good as it would sound on FM just a few years later. As the day progressed, you had your show from 9 to noon. Dory was on, you know, same from noon to 3. And Dory sort of got into the emotional part of it. And he's not emotional in this, what we're going to hear here, but he talks about how the emotions were at work at that time of the day.
I think a lot of people today would say, and this is emotion that is talking today, and hopefully whatever the American response is will be a reasoned one. But I think right now the emotion of the moment has Americans saying that we must strike back 100 times stronger than the force with which we were struck, because that is the only way to stop terrorism. Now, again, that's an emotional response. What is the most practical response? That will be evaluated, but there will be a response. You can be sure of that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if we still know the answer to what the most rational response is here 20 years later. You know, it's interesting. I looked at that time, like 20 years after Pearl Harbor, and how different it is, because in 1961, we'd vanquished Japan and Germany, our World War II enemies. But we were still battling the Soviets. I mean, we had the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis. So it wasn't as if everything was fixed after World War II. We had a whole different set of problems. But it's different now, 20 years after 9/11. I went back earlier this summer and talked with some of the elected officials who were in office 20 years ago just to get their memories. Chris Gregoire, though she wasn't yet governor, she was attorney general. And I asked her what her morning was like on September 11th, 2001.
Of course, I went into work immediately and began to ask the question, did they start on the East Coast? Are they coming to the West Coast? Knowing that we have some vulnerabilities here and some significance, particularly, for example, with a Boeing plant, would there be further activity? Should we expect it? What was going to be shut down? What were citizens supposed to do? How should we respond to all of that? And I remember having, as I recall, a conversation with the governor. Is there anything that you need from us at the Attorney General's office, legal or otherwise? We stand ready to help you in anything you may need.
Yeah, and that uncertainty, that not knowing the bulk of the narrative, that was so much was unknown on the morning of 9/11. We thought there might be tens of thousands of people who died in the World Trade Center. Yeah. And people started to assume it was Osama bin Laden, but we just didn't really know as much as we knew even a week or so later. I also talked with Secretary of State Sam Reed. He drew a comparison to the Nisqually earthquake, which had happened earlier that year.
This made me more aware, as did the Nisqually earthquake, that the staff and some of the public were looking at me to see if I would remain calm, if I would remain focused, if I wouldn't kind of, you know, panic a bit or something, and kind of reassuring them that on what we need to do.
And Ron Sims was King County executive then, and he got the, you know, he saw on the news early that morning, and then he looked outside, and there was one of the special King County armored cars to pick him up and haul him down to the emergency center down somewhere in the south part of the county. I think they call that place the Rock. I couldn't get him to tell me where it is exactly. But he, you know, looking back on it 20 years later, he says nobody in King County was harmed on that day, and that was a big plus for him.
9/11 has its own universe, and you got to understand that nothing bad came out of it. So when you watch professional orchestration and talent applied to make sure that there's not a single citizen in this county, not in a daycare facility, not in a child care facility, not in a nursing home facility, not in a hospital, not at a school building, not at a grocery store. When you know that people made sure that no one was harmed, oh, wow, you walk out feeling really, really good.
Yeah, and that was a really interesting sort of long view and very localized view from Ron Sims. Now, the bulk of the tape that I have is from your 9 to noon show, Dave. And you said a lot of brilliant things. I don't mind saying that. You know, I'm not trying to buddy you up or anything.
Of course not.
And we've missed you. It's nice to have you back, by the way.
Thank you.
This is some observations you made about having grown up in New York and what you were feeling on that morning 20 years ago.
This is the rogue attack we've been told so much about. And yet, from the experts we've heard and talked to this morning, how could you have prevented it? It didn't come via missile. It came via passenger jets in areas which are heavily traveled by passenger jets all the time. There will... somebody who grew up in the New York area and has visited New York City to see something like this, there's really nothing you can say except that you're upset, you're in shock, you're angry. I've got friends in New York. I don't know what's happened to them. They may have been working. I don't know. I've called my parents already. They were upstate, but there will be many, many other phone calls which will not be returned in the same fashion. And it is just beginning. This will go on for months. It will go on for years.
Yeah. How do you feel hearing your voice from 20 years ago saying those words?
It's funny because I avoid 9/11 news. Because if the following, I went to New York the weekend after it happened and spent some time down there and talking to firefighters and relief workers and just walking around the pile and walking around New York, and just remember looking at all those high rises and saying, this, any one of these things could be so easily hit. The vulnerability that made me feel was very uncomfortable. And now looking back and realizing some of the mistakes we made in response to it and not being able to take any of that back, I find the whole thing frustrating.
Yeah.
I myself will probably mostly be avoiding media over the weekend. I know I shouldn't be saying that, but that's just the way I feel.
Well, for me, it's like the narrative's not complete. With World War II, the narrative has kind of a beginning, middle, and end, and we can sort of, it's not satisfying. Obviously, hundreds of thousands of people died in World War II. But like the pandemic, 9/11 doesn't have a final chapter. We're still sort of stuck in this loop of living history, which, as a historian, I don't really want to live history. I want to study it and talk about it. Yeah. Living through it is exhausting, and I feel like we're still living through it 20 years later.
So true. Felix Bonnell, Felix, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.